Okay, this week is Parashat Shemos, the beginning of a new Chumash, a new Sefer. The first Chumash, Chumash Bereishis, the time, look at the chronology. The time period of the first Chumash spanned 2,500 years. And the next four Chumashim, 40 years. For four Chumashim, we're slowing down. Now that has an impact upon us as well. You know, until this time of the year, think about it. Time goes by very fast. From the beginning of the year until this time of the year, time flies by. Isn't that so? From the time right after Simchas Torah. What?
Why 40 years?
Because
it says on Moshe's birth.
Approximately 40 years. Moshe's.
He came back to the time he was 80 years old, so that's already.
Okay, most of the. Because the beginning of Shemos until Moshe arrives on the scene, it was only like a year before Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Even if it was 120 years.
Okay.
Ruba de ruba. Time span that we showed compared to 2,500 years.
Everything is rooted in the Torah, and if you look at your all lives, it's very interesting. Is that it's true until this time of the year, time really flies. Time from time after Simchas Torah and Bereishis all the way until the first Chumash, bang, bang, bang. Before you blink, it's Hanukkah and preparation for Hanukkah after Hanukkah, and now people, this time, you know, you get a little slow down of it. You slow down, and we have to begin to prepare for the coming. The Purim. Purim is coming up. Tu B'Shvat is not so far away, and then Purim, time begins to slow down. And the reason why that is so, if it is so, and I know that it definitely is of a certain types of people, this concept is because Hafeich Ba'Hafeich with the Kulabats, Mushrosh in the Torah. We go through Bereishis, we're warp speed, right? We're traveling like Star Trek, we're going warp speed through time, 2,500 years in one shot. But we begin, you don't know what that is? You never heard of it, huh? You belong in a very sure share. Those who don't know who Star Trek should go to Rabbi Shur. But you know what is so funny? Even Rabbi Shur knows what Star Trek is. You bet he knows what it is. He certainly knows what it is. He knows what it is. Don't worry.
So is the new one.
Oh, the old one?
Okay. Warp. Oh, there's a new one now? I don't know that. There's a new one now? There's a new one?
No, the English guy, you know, where he says, make it so?
Yeah. Okay, whatever it is. But let's go weiter. So this, Hafeich Ba'Hafeich Ba'Dukulba, there's definitely something to it that when you go through Parashios, you are reliving, you are re-experiencing the events that appear in the Torah, but it's not just you're experiencing the events, you are also experiencing the time, the span of time also to some degree has an effect upon our Mitzvahs. Okay, let's go to the first idea. Now, the following idea I'm telling you from Moshe Feinstein. The only reason why I'm telling you this idea is because something I had a conversation with an individual this week, And because of the conversation, when I saw this Vart, it just shook me up. I don't know what I should tell you first, the conversation or the Vart. I'll tell you first the Vart. Rav Moshe says, Vayaka Melech Chodesh al Mitzrayim asher lo yada es Yosef. Machlokes Rash, Machlokes, when Melech Chodesh, does this mean a new king or the same king? It was the same old king, the king that existed during the old days, when Yosef, who lived at the tail end of Yosef's life, whatever, but was well aware of the chesed that Yosef HaTzadik has done for Egypt. What has Yosef HaTzadik done for Egypt? He through his chokhmah, through his Yir Shamayim, he kept them all alive. He kept them all alive, and if not for him, they all would have starved to death, and the world would have come to an end, for that matter. It was the world economy, but he was the same king. But yet, all of a sudden, he had a change of heart. Nitzchadshu gizei roisaf. The second parish of Rashi is, well, the first parish, everyone is no, Melech Chodesh, the old king died. He died, and now a new king came to power. No connection. And he issued new gezeiros. So Rav Moshe says, what's the nafkamina between these two interpretations? The nafkamina is, how evil can a person be? If you learn that it was an old king, it was the king that lived in the lifetime of Yosef, he witnessed firsthand the chesed of Yosef, the kindness, the Yerushalayim of Yosef, and now all of a sudden he's changing policy, That is an extreme degree of wickedness. A degree of wickedness that we can't even begin to fathom. How can a person who is a recipient of the kindness, a witness firsthand, what was done to him, all of a sudden of a change of heart, and harm, and slave, and bitter the Jewish people? It doesn't make sense. The answer is it does make sense. That's human nature. There's no limit to rishus. The second opinion in the Gemara, a different Tanis, Machlokes Tanaim, Amarav, says human beings cannot, it's not shaykh for a human being to be that evil. Hashem created human beings, and there's a degree of evil. There's a degree of evil in this world. It cannot possibly be that a person as a recipient of the kindness of Yosef would turn on the human, mankind and human beings and do such cruel things and take their babies and use them as bricks in a war. It can't be. You could not do that to a person that was kind to you. It has to then be Vayaka Melech Chodosh Chodosh Mamish. A person that never saw Yosef, who did not witness first and only knows about this from the books, from history, okay, he doesn't know. He's a Tinuk Shanishba. So what do you expect? So he issues these cruel, harsh policies. But to say that a human being that was created in the Tzelem Elokim is capable of such extreme evil cannot possibly be, and has to be a Melech Chodosh. Yeah?
When you're done.
Okay, so now, this week, that's the nafkamina. My nafkamina. Nafkamina is, if it could happen to Paro, it could happen to us. We can also become, so Moshe says, it's one of the first Verloch in Darash Moshe, that could happen to us. That a person can be a recipient of a toiva. You have a parent who does for you, chesed, raises you. Do you have to protect yourself? That who knows what you'll do to your parent one day? Maybe you'll go, you'll put them in a nursing home, and who knows what you'll do? Who knows what you'll do to them? You'll go and you'll torture them, you'll betray them. Does a person have to be aware of how he can do cruel things to people who have been good to him? Well, it's machlokes in the Gemara. According to Mandem, it says Chodosh Manish, you don't have to worry. You can put your guard down. Because you are a recipient. If you're a recipient, I'm not going to go turn on the people that were good to me. But if you learn, Nafkamin is, watch out. You never know how evil a human being can be, how evil you can be, a human being, how so we can be, by turning on people who are very good and kind to us. Okay, this is the bar from Rav Moshe Feinstein. The reason why this triggered, it woke me up, is this week I was in the car with an older fellow whose name is Rabbi Steinberg. He lives in Borough Park. I don't know if you know who he is. He goes around to different shiurim. Rachman Lassan, he's an Alman. He comes to different shiurim, and I was in the car with him, and I was talking to him. He was asking me about my great-grandfather, the Reish Sharov, and he asked me all the details of how he was killed, how he died, what year, when, who, the Ukrainians, the Nazis, what happened, how he ran, where he's buried, if he's buried. All. So I said, why do you really want to know all these gory details? So he says, my whole life I studied the Holocaust. I invested an enormous amount of effort, time and money to study, to learn about the Holocaust. It just, whatever reason, I have a connection to it. And he told me that he was invited to different conferences. He went travel the world. He met with different countries and different events. He participated in a very high level in the Holocaust Memorial and all these various things. And very nice conversations. He was much older than me. I was very respectful. So then I had the guts to say to him at the end of the conversation, so tell me, you study the Holocaust. What's to you on a personal level? You, not talking about what it says in the books. What do you take away from the Holocaust? What's the message? What do you walk away with after all of this? So I thought he would tell me something very religious. He was a very religious fellow, he has a long beard, and so on and so forth. And I was expecting, he says to me, good question. I take away from this, I'm in awe of how evil a human being can be. That's what he said. That's what it strikes me. You cannot believe what a human being is capable of doing. You would never imagine a human being can become such a rush, such a cruel to do the atrocities. That's what I take away from the Holocaust. Watch out. A human being is a dangerous creature. It's a dangerous creature. You don't know what he's capable of doing. Don't trust the human race. That's pretty much what he said to me. Those are not his words, but that's what he took away. When I read this Vard in Rav Moshe, it just tied in like a Vayaka Melech Chodosh. When Chazal, they argue, what does it mean Melech Chodosh? Does it mean Shenis Chachu Gezeira Yisov? Or does it mean Chodosh Mamish? This concept, the Chazal did not see a Holocaust. Maybe Al Rupi Ruch HaKodesh, they saw the potential for a Holocaust. Okay, but they didn't see in the Daim HaShmiel L'Riyah. Chazal arguing, they're arguing about what?
They saw the Chorban and the
Was the Chorban, let me ask you, was the Holocaust worse than the Chorban?
I don't know how you...
Were the Crusades worse? The Chorban, they destroyed a building. They destroyed a building. What was the Chorban? What was the Chorban? They destroyed, did they torture people? Did they want to eradicate a nation? They enslaved them. They enslaved them. They were a million dead because they fought. They were a million dead because they fought. Many of them fought. They fought. And they didn't, but you have to ask, that's a very tough question. What was worse? Was the Chorban based on Migdash?
How do you measure? What's killed?
Okay, in a Chanami.
Because if you every one person that was killed by the Chorban, today you would have millions.
Okay, that's a side point. That's an indirect consequence. That's an indirect. But let's talk about the brutality, the cruelty,
the
genocide. What?
They didn't see the cruelty of the Romans?
There was
one after the other, the heroes of the kings. Atrocities?
Yes and no. Yes, but there are a lot of things to discover. Not for now. You have to study this professionally. You have to have experts go and analyze this. It's not so simple. You have to understand everything in its context. You have to understand. But Chazal, Rav Moshe over here is touched. He says a vort which is so deep. It is so profound. What Rav Moshe says. You read this Rashi a million times. Chazal, they're trying to delve into the depth of a human being. What is a human being capable of? How evil can a person be? Do we have to say that a human, how depraved can you go? Can you go to a degree where it's the same person? When you were a recipient of chesed, of a person that did for you, did for you, save the world? Can it really be? Can a human being steeped so low? Sink so low? Can it really be? And the other man says, cannot be. Cannot be. It has to be a Melech Chodosh. No two ways about it. This, they're arguing about the fundamentals of the koichos of a human being. And when you go with someone who looks at the Holocaust, who really knows the Holocaust, it's a fascinating insight. He gives a whole new perspective. He devoted his life to the Holocaust. And this is what he says to me. It really ties very well into this pasuk of a much greater appreciation of what Chazal really trying to bring out in this machlekes here in Melech Chodosh, Shneschachu Gezeirosa, or Chodosh Mamish. Okay, let's go to another idea.
Hold it.
Yeah.
This kind of pirate, like the group said when we're learning way back, the Yom Haled is pirate.
Yeah, oh, there's a medrash. That was a medrash that the baby that was born on that day became the Melech Chodosh.
Yeah,
but Midrashim Chalukim, that medrash works with the tzad that it was the Melech Chodosh.
Yeah.
Then that, who was the Melech Chodosh? It was the baby that was born,
yeah.
Yom Haled is right. But not every medrash agrees, and Echonami, that's very common. Also, that maybe that was the Melech. He would have seen all the recipients of good. Okay, but this.
Then he forgot because
too many years.
He was too young. Okay, but these are ideas, concepts, which are very deep concepts. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here a Rashi, a very first Rashi in this week's parasha of Eilu Shmos Bnei Yisrael. Afal pi shemonon bechayim. Even though that we in Bechumish Bereishis, Hakadosh Baruch Hu counted every member of Klal Yisrael. Bishmoisam multiple times the shin nefesh hashayodim mitzrayim parish vayechidim were counted. Nochamol chozar umenoam b'misos nakadosh baruch hu counted the second time lehodiach yibasam to make it known the love shenim shul lekacham the love hakadosh baruch hu had the love lehodiach yibasam. And Rashi here is something very bizarre. Shenim shulu lekoychavim. The Jewish people are compared to stars. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show his love for Klal Yisrael, he counts them. Because when you count something, what you're really doing is it's like counting the stars. Shemoitziyom umachnisam b'mispar, you take them out and you bring them in by number. Uvishmoitzam and by name, by number and by name. Shenemar hamoitzi b'mispar tzevaam l'kulam b'shem yikra. Very strange. Here we're counting, we're listing the names of the Jewish people. We're counting them, and we're listing them. Why is Hashem doing this again when we already did this in Chumash Bereishis? Because the Chibah of Klal Yisrael. And when you count people, it's like counting stars. Counting stars, every star has a name and a number, so we connect the two. When you count people, it's like you're counting stars, and this captures love.
I thought we hold that counting is not a good thing.
We cannot count, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can count. Okay, so let me give you the first answer to your question, the very excellent question. The Allah count because in the Baruch Hu Mosheil Dover Shah Samim in Ayin. So the first answer given by the Sefer of Eliyahu Atya in the Sefer of Yom Eliyahu, he basically asks your question and he says as follows. There are only two places in the Chumash Bereishis where Klal Yisrael are compared to stars. The first place is Avraham Avinu at the Bris Bein HaBesar. Right before the Bris Bein HaBesar, Avraham complains to Hashem, "Uma atidin li v'nochi holech hariri, v'yotzi oso achutza, sofar akochav im tuchal l'spar oso." I'm trying to count the stars. Can you count them?
No.
Nope, you can't count them. They're too numerous. Ko yiyez zarecha. That's what you're going to have. Don't complain about Eliezer. You're going to have Yizki b'yitzak, yikol l'chol zara, ko yiyez zarecha. So in that instance, were the stars counted? No. There were too many to count. Ein brocha mitzuya el lebedover hasama minu ayin. The stars is something which is the only thing which you think you can count. Because you can see individual stars, so you think, you're fooled to think I can count, but as you begin to count, there's only more and more and more and more, and ultimately you give up, you can't count. Because in Echnami, you can count. Where's the second place where we're compared to stars? The dream, Parashas Vayeshev, the only other place in Chumash Bereishis, Parashas Vayeshev, when Yosef has a dream about the 11 stars bowing down, Achados HaMiyadei in the Haggadah, the 11 stars are bowing down to me, and the sun and the moon, and he tells to his brothers, and the brothers hated him. And then Rashi, the pasuk tells that he goes and he tells the dream to his father. He tells the dream to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, "Mo hadavar, havoy nova ani imcha vechechel shtachvas chaarcha artsa." What are you doing? And he said this to them in front of the brothers in order to tell the Yosef this is nonsense. So in that pasuk, how many stars were there? 11. How many shvatim are there? 12. Because Yosef, they're all bowing down to Yosef. One of the stars are missing. So Eliyahu Atya says, what's the chibah? This doesn't say mamash this, but the basic yisod is there in Eliyahu Atya. What's the basic chibah of stars? Exactly what you said, because stars is something in Chazal that can never be counted. It's too numerous to count. If you want to go count, you want to count something, you have a set, you can count. But ein v'brocha mitzuya el v'dover hasamay min ha'ayin, and stars is the perfect example of something which is never counted. The 11 stars of Yosef were not fully counted. There was always more. And by Avram Avinu is beferishim tuchal lispar oisam. That's the chiba. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes and he lists the names of Klal Yisrael to Lutu. I'm just starting to count. What we list over here are only the 12 Shvatim. There were 70 souls who came down to Egypt. Paru vayishritzu vayiru vayatzmu b'mod mod shisha. It was too numerous to count. The chiba of counting Klal Yisrael is to compare them to the stars, just like the stars are something which you begin to count, and then you give up counting because it's too numerous. That's the chiba of counting Klal Yisrael. We start counting the Shvatim, and then we just give up. Why do we give up? Because the Vinei Yisrael Paru Vayishritzu Vayiru Vayatz B'Mod M'od V'Timol Yaretz Osam, they were too numerous to count. And that's exactly why we'll be Davka, and the two instances in Bereish, indeed where the Klal Yisrael compared to the stars, are two exact instances where the stars do not accurately reflect the number of people in Klal Yisrael, because it's only 11, not 12, which is symbolic that there's more to count. And Avram Hashem says, "I'm a Farishim to Chalisper Oisam." So that's the first idea.
That's the chibah.
There's always more. It's more and more and more and more and more, and that's exactly why Rashi is dwelling upon this idea of the chibah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comparing Klal Yisrael to the stars, because there's always more and more to count. Okay, that's one idea. I want to say a drush to build upon this idea. The only two places, based upon the foundation of Rav Atya, the only two places in the Chumash Bereishis where we have Klal Yisrael being compared to stars is Avraham, Ko Yez Zarecha, Vayotzi Osa Achutza, and And Yosef, what was the response of Avraham to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When Hashem told Avraham Avinu, Ko yiyeh zarecha, imtucha lisperosa, what are the next words? Vayamin vehemin b'Hashem, emuna. Avraham responded to this analogy, I have faith in you, Hashem. This is one of the most greatest psukim in the Torah. Avraham is the Rosh Hamaminim, the whole Yad, this is built upon Avraham Avinu. He's the Rosh Hamaminim, Emuna, Emuna, the whole Pesach is Emuna, all built on the Pasuk, Vehemin Bahashem. He had faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu when Hashem said, Koyi Ezerecha, like the stars. Let's go to, fast forward, to Yosef. Yosef has a dream. There are 11 stars. They're all bowing down to me. Look at that. They're bowing down to me. I'm going to become Melech. There's going to be a, and what is that? What exactly does that symbolic of? There's going to be a Geula. There's going to be a redemption. It's all built into the whole foundation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The stars, the moon, the sun, they're going to bow down to me. How does Yaakov Avinu respond to the vision of the stars? Shomer Esther, what does Rashi say? Shomer Umitzape Mosayovo. When will this? He was mitzapa. When will this come? Anticipation. When will this come? And Rashi then quotes a pasuk. Shomer emunim. Rashi quotes a pasuk. Keep the faith. Shomer emunim. Yaakov Avinu had an anticipation of faith. The day will come when this dream will come true. And this dream is not just a plain dream. This dream represents the roots of Geula. The roots, the foundation that we need in Mitzrayim for the coming of Mashiach, for the Geula. The Geula of Mitzrayim, which is the Hagdama to the Geula of the Goel Acharon of Mashiach. So now we can fully appreciate why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has such chiba al derech drush for the stars. It's not the stars, it's the events. The stars is just a point, a reference point. There were two events in the history of Klal Yisrael where stars were used as a catalyst for bringing out an emotion by Avraham and by Yaakov of what we, our mission in this world is. Emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and anticipation, yearning for the Geula to come. The first time there were stars, Vehemin Bahashem. What more does Hashem want from us than Animam and Animamim? And what more is the great that we're looking for to be Shomer Umetzape, an emotion of yearning, Gaguim? When will HaKadosh Baruch Hu come and reveal Himself to us? When will He come and redeem us? This is the Chiba. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show love for Klal Yisrael, He compares us to the stars. Not because we're compared to the stars. That's all their pshat. But He compares us to the stars because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous satisfaction in the two events in Maaseh Bereishis when He did compare us to stars and the reaction that followed from that comparison. The reaction of Emuna and the reaction of the Oviv Shomar Es Hadavar. And that's the Musa Haskel for us. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. The same way He had Chiba, He shows us this is what He is Mevakesh, that we should also have Emuna and we should be Mitzapeh Mosa Yomoi. When will it come? When will this event unfold and come before us? Okay, let's go.
And then this week's parsha, then you have the first thing is by
Yom. Oh, right, exactly. So this will all echoes right. All of the events of the Avos, Mais Avos Silman, echoes down into our generation. Okay, let's go to a short idea. That's a beautiful idea from the Slonima Rebbe, the Sivas Shalom. Bissia opens up the cradle, the goyme, the teva, right, the teva, and what does she find inside? The inei nar boiche. And what does she say? A baby is struck. Who could the baby be? It could be anyone. Who says it has to be a Jewish baby? Maybe it was an Egyptian. Surely there were Egyptians that there are people all the time that drop off their babies in front of the fire department, right? Don't ask, don't tell. There's a law. You're allowed to bring a baby to a fire department, no questions asked. Just don't leave the kid in the street. Don't abandon him in the garbage. You don't want the baby? Bring it to the fire department and no questions asked. So, just because, and Goyim do this all the time, not all the time, but it happens. So just because she saw a baby in the boat, does there has to mean that it's a Jewish baby? So what does she say? She says, when she sees this, what's the pshat? So the Slon of a Rebbe, now he doesn't say how, suggest so having the Makar in the moment, he says, there's a difference when a child cries between a Jewish child and a non-Jewish cry. When a Jew cries, when a guy cries, it's a cry of yeyosh, of despair. When a Jew cries, it's a cry of tikva, a cry of hope. Here we have a baby. Moshe was an infant. Now, he doesn't say this. I'm assuming this is what he means. The Makar, we have an infant. All the Mefarshim, they dwell upon this point. There's an infant. And the infant is an infant cries like an infant, but it says v'hine nahar boicha. Nahar is an adolescent. It's a different type of cry. She sensed that the cry of this child is not a cry of yeyosh, of what is expected. It's a cry of chiyus. Nahar v'hu nahar es pene bilav. Nahar, it's a time of your life when you mole koyach, mole gaiva, mole. You're full of life, full of vigor, full of energy. What's the cry? It's a contradiction. If it's a bechia, it's a bechia of yeyosh. It's a different type of cry. The only one that can cry with a cry of tikva is the Jews. Only a Jew cries like that. And the Mela, she said, ah, I have no doubt. Vatachal v'lo v'tomer miyaldei ho'ivrim zeh. This is a Yiddish child, not a Goyish child. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is a short idea. Moshe Rabbeinu, he sees two people fighting. He goes out. Vayi ba yomim hohem ba yigdal Moshe ba yetsi elecha ba yar b'salusim ba yar ish mitri makeh ish ivri me echof. Short vart. I saw this somewhere. I don't remember where. It's a chassidish vart. It's a short. It's a very powerful vart. If the pasuk would have said vayar ish mitri makeh ish ivri. Period. Would you have blinked? Would you? No, fine, makes sense. He saw an ish mitri, he hit an ish ivri. But it doesn't say that. It says, ish ivri me echov, from his brethren. From the brethren of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not even clear who's the echov going on. One brother was hitting another brother. But whatever it means me echov. There's an extra word here in the pasuk. And the darshanim, the Baalei Musa, tell us, mordik musar, is that when everyone is happy and healthy, Baruch Hashem, and just a matter of who's the next prime minister, you can fight to the kill. You can fight and you can beat and you can do whatever you want. It's okay. But when one of your brothers, one of member of Klal Yisrael is, there are different parties. Okay, there are different parties. There's the Haredi party, the Chiloni party, and there's this party, all the different shades and back and forth. You want to fight? Gesundheit. Fight all you want. Punch each other out. Do whatever you want. But when you see an Ish Mitzri Make Ish Ivri, a Jew, it doesn't make a difference what kind of head covering he wears, what party he's from. If the blood is thicker than, what's the expression? Water. It's me'echov. There's an extra word here in the pasuk that is superfluous. But it's not superfluous. It's telling you that whenever you see an ish mitzri being make, an ish ivri, don't start making cheshbonos. Who is the ish ivri? Is he one of my own? Do we look alike? Do we dress like him? Do we share the same hashkafa? The pasuk air the extra word. When he's being hit, when he's in pain, when he's in tsar, he is me'echov. And has to be achdus. When there's an ace tsara, when part of Klal Yisrael is an ace tsara, it has to be, he's my brother. Doesn't make a difference.
That's why the pasuk begins. He was brought up in the palace as maybe a little bit of a mitzri, but at this point in time, he started to feel like a Jew more.
Okay. Powerful vart, extra word. Again, the word is totally extra. You can do away with it, you wouldn't know the difference. But the word is there to teach a very powerful Musar Hatzkel. What happened today?
Nice, friends.
Okay, that's right. I mean, it's an Eitzar. We have to be Mispalel. Okay, let's go. Let's go to. Okay, this is a short Vard. You've all heard this, but just could I to repeat the Vard. Everyone quotes the Vard, so it would be a Sinat to Chaz the Vard. All the Likudi Svarim, this is the first Vard of from the Moshe from the Chofetz Chaim. Moshe when he sees the burning bush, he sees the burning bush. Vayar, Vayiru, Malach Hashem Ela Belavaseish, Mitachasne, Vayar, Vine Hasne, Boyer Boish, Vastein Uko. Moshe now, Vayom Moshe. Moshe saw the Shechina. He saw, look at that, the burning bush. The Shechina. Vayomer Moshe, Asurna. Let me turn aside. Ve'ere es hamare hagadol hazeh ma'adu lo yivar hasne. I want to travel towards the Shechina. I want to go to the Beis Hamikdash, to Yerushalayim, to the Mokim Hashuas Hashechina. Hashem tells Moshe of Chofetz Chaim and says, "Haz Hashem mispan vayom Hashem vayar Hashem kisaliros vayikra elav elokim mitach hasne vayim Moshe Moshe vayim hinein vayomer al tikrav halayim." You want, you're curious, you want to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. You can find the Shechina right on this on the ground that you're stepping on. Shal le'olecha mi'al raglecha ki hamokoyim asher ato oimed alav ad maskoydeshu. In order to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you don't have to go anywhere. You can sanctify Kadosh Baruch Hu where you stand. You don't need to travel to the ends of the earth in order to achieve spirituality. Don't have to soar liros and go far to a place, the Mare Hagodol, to the Beis Hamikdash, to Temple Mount. You don't have to. You can sanctify Hashem. I didn't mean that. Take that back. I just meant to come to the Beis Hamikdash. You can go. You don't have to go make yourself meshuga. In your daily routine, shal neki hamokoy maasher ato oimetram. In every situation that you find yourself in, it's ad mas kodesh. It's an opportunity to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to sanctify yourself. This is the var from the Chofetz Chaim, the Moshel, how he interprets the darshans, these two psukim. Okay, now I have a short chassidus shavat.
With the pasuk that we learned today, Mishnah.
Exactly. Pasuk with the maven and the kasil. The kasil is looking for chokhma to the ends of the earth. The maven, el panof, el panay, right in front of you. You don't have to travel to the end of the earth to find chokhma, it's right staring in your face. Perfect. Okay, now here's a short little chassidus shavat. I enjoy this word very much. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu that, that I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim, go through the whole process, what's going to happen. It will be when you will go out, lo selchun reikam, you will not go out empty. Okay, when it's salt and it's Mitzrayim, don't worry, when you go out, you're going to go out. But don't worry, trust me on this. Just go through the steps and it'll be good at the end. So the Darshanim, the Chassidus Darshan, they say every time there's a Chazal that says, that whenever it says the word v'hoya, it says vayehi, it's loshen tsar,
right.
But when it says loshen v'hoya, loshen simcha.
That's the medrash.
It's medrash. So here they darshan in a beautiful way, v'hoya ki selichun. If you'll go forward with v'hoya, which is a code word for simcha, you got it all. Lo selichun reikam. You're not going empty-handed. Lo Hashem. What does our culture want from us? Ala shelo yavat Hashem lokecha. The simcha uvituv leivav meiroiv kol. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants simcha. What's the pasuk? The pasuk is simcha. That tells you to live life with simcha. If the es Hashem is simcha, if the es Hashem is simcha, v'hoya. If there'll be simcha, if you'll live your life, you may have nothing in life. Life may not be working in your favor, but v'hoya. If you'll at least if the es Hashem is simcha. When you'll go forward, you're not going empty-handed. You have the greatest gift you can possibly have. It's not going to be empty. You'll have everything you can possibly want. Okay, let's go to another idea. There's a very interesting, fascinating Sifsei Chachamim. It's a very strange Rashi, and the Sifsei Chachamim says a brilliant answer. But I want to take this Sifsei Chachamim and put a little drush, a little twist on it. The Sifsei Chachamim said, Moshe Rabbeinu, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do they deserve, do the Jewish people deserve to be redeemed from Egypt? What zuchus? Be'ezeh zuchus? So Hashem says to him, Bayomer, Moshe, can I really do? Can I really? So Hashem says, don't worry. You're good enough, Moshe. I'll be with you. Don't worry, even though I'll be with you. Trust me, I'll help you out. You don't have to. I'm now in Perek Gimel Pasig Yudais. Yudais. Hashem says to Moshe, whatever you think of yourself, it's irrelevant. I'm going to be with you. And as far as what's chus here is this was kinochi shlachticha biotziach hasam mitzrayim tavdon, you will serve as holokim al horazeh. This is always very bizarre to me. This pasuk, what does it mean tavdon? So we know if we look at the Rashi, it means kabbalas haTorah. They're going to receive the Torah. You're going to receive the Torah, and receiving the Torah is called serving Hashem. All right, it's not shakasha. Okay, when we stood at Har Sinai and Hashem gave us the Torah and we said Naseh v'Nishma, that is a form of service. We were mekabel ol malchus shemayim. We became Hashem's slaves, avodim, avinu malkenu, and ta'avdun. Rashi here just elaborates a bit. Rashi pasuk yud beis says. Rashi says, this that you asked, ma zuchus yesh li Yisrael, sheyetzu mitzrayim, dovor godol yesh li al hoitza zo. I have a very great benefit, very great cause, very great permission. Shaharei asidim lekabel ha-Torah al hor hazeh, lesoif shiloisho chodoshim. At the end of 3 months. Okay, how many days are there in 3 months? 90 days. L'soif shloisha chodoshim. How many days was it from the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim until they received the Torah? 50 days. So what then does it mean over here in Rashi? L'soif shloisha chodoshim. What in the world is going on here? L'soif shloisha chodoshim. Now how do you know we're referring to... I don't know the makar for this, why he says 30. I'm sure there must be a deacon in the pasuk, maybe a gematria. I don't know what this is.
Yeah. In the third month.
Oh, so the first thing is, so it is, that's the second is of the Siv Sei Chacham. So the Siv Sei Chacham says it means, it doesn't mean 72 hours, it means on the third day. It means on the third day, it means 40, it means 45 hours. Right? 49 hours. 48 hours, 2 days, and then you go into the third day. Lishloisha Shemimim means the beginning of the third day. So here also, when it says the third and 3 months, it does mean Lishoif. It means when you enter into the third month. It has to be loosely translated, which means they left Mitzrayim in Nisan, is Iyar, and they will come with the Torah in Sivan at the end of 3 months into leaving, which is, yeah. That's the Siv Sei Chacham's second shot. The first shot is a little deeper. He says, we think, what do we think when we read this pasuk? It means Hashem is going to give us the Torah, Har Sinai. They're going to be Makab with the Torah, Matan Torah, Nasev and Nishma, that's not the goal. That's not the mission. The mission is Torah Shebal Peh. When the Klal Yisrael received Torah Shebal Peh, 40 days later, Moshe went to Shemayim for 40 days. He went for a total of 120 days, 3 times 40. But first 40 days, he learned all of Torah Shebal Peh, and he was and came down with the Luchos, and as he was about to come down, Vayaram ki boyesh Moshe, they got a little nervous, and they worshipped the eagle, and Moshe had a shot of the Luchos. When Moshe came down 40 days after Vav Sivan is when he came down with the complete Torah Shebal Peh. So 50 days from the time of Kabbalah Satorah plus 40 days of Moshe being is 90. So Rashi is 100% accurate. L'sof Shlosha Chadoshim, and is telling us Tavdunes Lekim Alohar Hazeh is after 90 days, and is teaching us that the Tavdun, the Kabbalah Satorah, is not the Kabbalah of Torah Shebichsav. The Yikra Tavdun is the Kabbalah of Torah Shebal Peh. What? Because it took 40 days for Moshe to study the Torah Shebal Peh. But that was the second Lucas was 120 days later. It took 40 days for Moshe Rabbeinu to master Torah Shebal Peh. Pasha Pshat.
You can only hear it, you can't see it.
It took 40 days. So I want to say a little bit of Derech Drosh. a little bit of a josh. The word tavdun always bothered me. Tavdun is not the word that you typically would use. If we were writing the Torah, we would not use the word tavdun to allude to the mekabel of the Torah. That's not the right word. The word tavdun is always used in Chazal, a word for tefillah, the koyach of tefillah. For example, a very, very, that why don't we go to the Beis HaKisei? If our body were not functioning properly, eifshar lehiskayem v'la'amod lefonecha. The Mefarshim tells us, what does it mean? If our body would have a guf naki, we could not stand, we cannot eifshar lehis to exist and to daven. If you don't have a guf naki, you can't daven towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amida in amida ela tfila. So here it says, okay, that's amida. La'amod is to stand, but the word avod is not the same word. I don't know why I thought that, but I know somehow I got a little confused. But here, avoda, eze avoda, v'avadetem eis Hashem alokech, like what we say in Kriyashma. V'avadetem eis Hashem alokech, b'chol levav, b'chol nafshchem, chazal dash, what is avoda, shebelev, hevi oimer, zeh, tefillah. Avod is always a term that chazal associate with the koyach of tefillah. What happened on day 40, on day 90, from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Klal Yisrael worshipped the Egel. And by worshipping the Egel, that began a process of true Moshe, immediately went up to Shemayim. And what did he do? He was mispalel. Moshe was immediately mispalel, Zuchor li Avraham li Yitzhak li Yaakov. And it began a process, an incredible process of tshuva, on behalf of Moshe, of Tefillah, where Moshe invoked for the first time the Zuchus Avos, Zuchor Li Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded by teaching him the Yud, Gimel, Midoy Sarachamim, and therefore, 90 days later, according to Derech Pshat, means Kabbalah Satorah. It doesn't mean Kabbalah Satorah Shebechsav, can't be, Shloi Shechodoshim. It means Torah Shebal Peh. It means Torah Shebal Peh, 40 days later. But if it really purely means 100% Torah Shebal Peh, the word of Avodah is a little bit inaccurate. So what else does it allude to? It alludes to the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that in 3 months, Tavdun, the Jewish people will come to serve Hashem through the Koyach HaTzvilah. Moshe Rabbeinu will be the Shliach Tzibor, and through Moshe learning through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was a 40-day process. It was Moshe was misspelled for 40 days. For 40 days that Hashem should forgive Klal Yisrael. But that began, that period began 90 days from the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which was part of it. We learned the Yod, Gimel, Midah, Sarachim. We learned HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nisatev Keshliach Tzibor with a talis. All of the Inyonei Tefillah were developed during those second 40 days, which began, the beginning time was day one. And day one is exactly 90 days after Yetzias Mitzrayim. And big that tefillah in Chazal is always associated with the word of tefillah, is always avod, is always tefillah. It fits perfectly into the pasuk. So it's in many layers of pshat. You have Pashut Pshat, Torah Shebechsav, Kabbalah Satara. That's what you taught in Cheder. Abba Rashi, for some reason, says 3 months. It means Hayunachonim L'Shloishes. It means the third month. It doesn't mean 3 months Mamish. You want to go a little bit deeper? Sifsei Chachamim. Sifsei Chacham is telling us it means Mamish Torah Shebal Peh, 90 days. You want to go even deeper? You want to even go even a little bit deeper? What's the word Avod? The word Avod is not the right word. It means Tzvila. Because indeed, when the Klal Yisrael, on day 90, they worship the eagle, that began the Koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu, brought down the Koyach of Avodah. Avodah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us that this is what I want. What I want from Klal Yisrael is to daven to me. I want them to learn Torah, and I want them to daven. The two are interrelated. Your Koyach of Tefillah is only as good as your Koyach of Torah, and your Koyach of Torah is only as good as your Koyach of Tefillah. The two are integrated, and this is what I'm vakish from my people, Tavdunis Lakim Alohar Hazeh. Okay, let's go to another few short little verloch. Okay, let's. Who is the biggest Val Musar of this week's Pash? This idea really comes from the pre Tzaddik, of Tzaddik HaKoyin. So you want to say Shifra and Pur? Okay. Well, let's say who is the. Let me ask you a better question. Who is the biggest apikoris in this week's parsha? Par. Mi Hashem, lo yodati es Hashem. Who's God? You can't get better than that, right? That's the biggest apikoris. But the pre-tzaddik, I don't know if Mavish says it, he doesn't say these words, but he alludes to this idea, is that the truth is, the Paro was even bigger than the Ramchal. Was bigger than the Ramchal. Who's bigger than almost the Ramchal? Chavis HaLavavis was even bigger. What's the pshat? There's a very, very strange pasuk in this week's parasha. The end of the parasha, it says, when the Jewish people were complaining to Paro, Paro says to them, the reason why I'm telling the taskmasters not to give you straw and require you to go out into the field yourself and find the straw is because you have too much time on your hands.
Near Batem,
so trying to find the exact pasuk.
Yud Zion.
Pasuk Yud Zion. Let's go a little bit further.
Yud Zion.
Let's go.
Bottom of the page.
Hey, let's go to Pasuk Tes. Go up. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Chesmazach. Yes, Maskoines Halavim Asher Heim Oisim Tmol Shol Shem Tosim Aleihem. Lois Sigru Mimenu Kinir Pim Aheim. They're idle. Al Kain Heim Tzakim Lemar Nilcha Let Us Go Nizbcha Let Us Go. Moshe Rabbeinu rallied the troops. He told them to complain. We want to go and worship Hashem. Yeah. We want to go. We want to do a mitzvah. That's what we want to do. We want to nizbuchal Hashem. We want to worship Hashem. Tichba, so Paro says, Tichba hu avoyda l'noshem v'yasuba v'yal yishu. It's a hard word to translate. Rashi elaborates to great extent. It means to talk. Don't chatter. B'divrei words of shoker, of falsehood. Now, this is the Torah. When the Torah writes something, The Torah is very serious. There's no sheker in the Torah. Torah is kula emes. Can the Torah really? If you were writing the Torah, I always ask you this: if you were writing the Torah, would you write these words? Paro says, "Don't say these divrei shoker." Are the words really sheker? The words are not sheker. Paro doesn't want to believe. Paro doesn't want to accept. The Jewish people say, Nelcha nizbecha le'lokeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu came to Klal Yisrael, Yipoko ki pokod pokadati eschem, and Vayanein ha'am, they believe, Ba'amuna, and we're going to go, we're going to serve Hashem, we're going to go, it's the real deal. So it's not sheker. What the Jewish people are saying to Paro is emes. Emes lamito. It's just that Paro refuses to accept. Does not want to give in. Vayechaber Hashem a slave Paro. He doesn't want to accept. But the words are not sheker. The words are emes. So if you were writing the Torah, you would not write the pasuk in this fashion. I don't know what you would write, but you would not say, Paro would say, V'al Yishu, don't talk divrei shoker. Because the Torah is focusing from the perspective of reality, seemingly. Okay, you can argue that point as well. But generally, the Torah is telling, I don't want to hear these words. Are the words sheker or are the words emes? Well, the Torah is the one that's giving us the record, and the words are emes, they're not sheker. So what's going on here? So the answer is, this is the Murdika Musar. Paro was basically saying to them, it's an incredible idea, you yourselves don't believe in the mission. You can say all you want, we want to go serve Hashem, we want to serve Hashem, and you have all the Midrash and Moshe has rallied you. You don't believe in the mission. Okay, whatever that means, but he's saying to them, it's divrei sheker. Nizbecha, when you say to me, Nizbecha l'Hashem Elokeinu, you don't really mean it. If you really meant it, Gzorim hayoytzim min halev, nechnasim el halev. Memela Paro is here, is bigger than the Ramchal. He's saying, divrei sheker. You shuckle, you davening three times a day, you be meisa nefesh, it's all a bunch of baloney. Because Hashem doesn't want to hear the lip service, Hashem wants to hear your heart. It's divrei sheker. And Paro was right. Paro, he may have been an apikoris. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma b'kolo lo yedate es Hashem. But here he really hit it on the mark in the musar he gave Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's then one more. This is what I told you. Absolutely. Dvarim pshutim ad mo'id. Dvarim pshutim ad mo'id.
That's your homework.
Okay, let's conclude with one last vart. We'll have to maybe a little maisla at the end, a little cute maisla at the end. But But let me. There's a vid. I told you this var in the past, but it's such a beautiful var. I want to just quickly repeat it in Chazar. It's a sadistic var. The var comes from Rabbi Shane. Rabbi Shane is the author. He's a rebbe. I forgot his first name. He's a rebbe in Staten Island. Rav Reuven Feinstein's yeshiva in Staten Island, and he's the mechaber of a sefer called Ish. What is it called again? I think it's called Birchas Ish. Okay, his name is Rabbi Shane, he's a Rebbe in Salon, and he asked a very simple question. He quotes some album. Well, there are two words in Hebrew for why. The Manishtana, what do we say? Manishtana Lalazem, Mikol Halelos. Why don't we say Madua? Madua Halayla Hazem.
Lama
is the same as Ma. Lama is the same exact thing as Ma, it's the same Sharish. But there's a word. There are two words, Lama or Lama, and Madu. What is the difference between the two words? So the Malbum comes to the rescue, Kedarkoi, in the Sefer HaKarmel. When you use the word Madua, you want an answer. I want an answer. Explain to me. I'm a serious person. I want to learn. I'm coming to study. When you use the word Lama, you don't want an answer. It's an expression, it's like a rhetorical question, it's an expression of frustration. What did you do? I know why you did it. I know why you're guilty. I know you did. You just want to vent. You want to vent. Why did you not close the refrigerator? Why did you leave the door open? I know why, because you're a shaita. You're a shaita. You're scatterbrained. You're scatterbrained. You're just a lazy good for nothing. I know. I just want to show my frustration. So the question over here is, there seems to be, over here we have a word at the end of the parasha, where the taskmaster, the Egyptians, they put upon the Jewish people Jewish taskmasters, Jewish people to make sure the work got done. The people that were in between the laborers and the Mitzrayim, and they told them the bad news that they're going to have to go get the bricks for themselves, and the Jewish people, they were not able to keep up with the work. The ato luchu evdu is seven leinasim lachem v'sochim by yiru shaitre v'nei shol well some bro leimar lo sigru milivnechem dvar yom v'yomo let me just find the right pasuk. Okay, here it is. Let's go back. Vayofet Saam b'chol eretz mitzrayim l'koshesh kash la'tevin, the people that spread out to go in and find straw. Vanoiksim otsim lemar kalu, and the noiksim otsim lemar, we're pressing them, kalu masechim vayom yomok hasher b'yos ha-tevin. Vayuku shoytrei v'nei, they were hit. Vayuku. The Jewish foremen were being beaten by the Egyptians. B'nei Yisrael asher somu aleim noiksei faro lemar, and they said to them, madua lo chilisem chokchem lilbon kismol shulshom gam tmol gamim. How come the work is not up to par? How come you have not filled the quota today? If you were writing this pasuk, you would not use the word madua. The symbol used in the pasuk would be lola. Vayuku, the Jewish taskmasters were being beaten by the Egyptians, as someone Ali Moshe Farlo, and they would say to them, I know the answer. The answer is you're just not doing a good job. When the Mitzrayim were beating these intermediaries, they were beating them up because you're lazy. You don't want to enforce the policy. Lama, we're not looking for an answer. I don't need an answer. We're going to beat you to the pulp because you're just good for nothing. You're lazy. You're not getting the job done. That's what you would expect. Yet, that's not what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Madua. And it gets a look at Rashi to make a long story short, is because the truth is, if they really wanted to have the work done, they could have had it done. But it will come out of the expense of torturing Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. And therefore, the Jewish management, overseers, were willing to take the blow, were willing to suffer the blow, the torture by the Egyptians, in order so that their brothers, Acheinu B'nei Yisrael, should not have to suffer and produce more. This is something that an Egyptian had no understanding of. Madua, why would one person be willing to suffer on behalf of another person? This is a need that is only in my Klal Yisrael. By the Umos Olam, do you find such a thing that you're willing to give up your life, you're willing to suffer so someone else should have an easier in life? Here we have the overseers, they're willing to allow themselves to be tortured just so that their fellow men should have it easy. It's something they could not comprehend. So they chose the word madua. Explain to us the secret of Klal Yisrael, that they're willing to do such things. It's a very beautiful deacon that's possible why we have these two words. Okay, I did a little quick story. There's a fascinating story. It's a Hasidic Shemaisa. It's an interesting story. There's no major message in the story. I just want to find interesting is that Rav Shneur Koller said that his father, Rav Aaron Koller, said that only once in his life was he slugged up. He said something, and someone responded to him, and he had nothing more to say. He was, what's the word? I don't know what the word is. He was once in his life. What was the ma'isa chassid story? He once went to a place. He went to raise money, and he went into a shul, and all they had was chassidish svarim. They had stories of chassidim, chassidish ma'isa lach. He wasn't too happy. Aaron Koller. So Litvak wasn't too happy with this whole book. Chassidish Shemaislach. What are we saying about art school today? Chassidish Shemaislach. So he opened up the book, and in the book it said there was Ma'isaf Rav Bunim. How do you pronounce his name? Mipeshischa. And it said there was a modern Ma'isa in the book that he wanted to bring Mashiach. And he was going to bring Mashiach. He was able to be poil Mashiach, but the Rav Simcha Bunim, Rav Simcha Bunim, the Peshischa said, the Zokin Hador is still alive. The Abdurov. Rav Avraham Yeshua Heschel, the Abdurov was still alive. Who am I? Who am I? The Rebbe Rav Simcha Bunim, the Peshischa, to bring Mashiach. If I'm going to bring Mashiach, the Abdurov is of Chalisha Sadas. And this little guy, the Rebbe Mibunin Mipashischa, is going to board Mashiach. I don't want to cause the Abdurov Agnes Nefesh. I'm not going to bring Mashiach. I don't want to cause him Agnes Nefesh. So Rav Aaron Koller says, Och and Vey, this is what the Hasidim, such a story, you believe a story? Like, what? This is what I come to raise money? To have to read such a story? Nishka Hoigen, Nishka Flying, what kind of mice is this? So he said, Rav Shnei said his father told him that there was a chassid there, and Aaron made this nasty comment in front of this chassid, and the chassid said to him, what's the kasha? It's this week's parasha, parasha Shemais. Moshe said, Shlachna v'yatishlach. Hashem is telling Moshe, you're the goyel. You're the goyel. And Hashem says, I'm the goyel, but there's iron. There's iron. I want to cause iron, agmas nefesh. So it's not kedai. I'm willing to be moichel the ganze geula in order that I should not hurt the feelings of my brother Aaron. So Aaron said, He's right. This was a Hasidic Shemaisa from this week's parasha. Okay, I thought you found it interesting. Have a wonderful Shabbos.